Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. I have to apologize because I started the radio show up again. Got kind of excited about it. Our very first show, we had a pretty active show between two of my regular co-hosts, Monica and Shelley. They both have a pretty major difference of opinion. And I think it was good to hear both sides of the story of the year, so to speak, what's going on in our political arena, going on in our leadership area. And I think tonight we're going to go off on a different kind of a energy. And I know Shelley is joining us. I'm not sure about Monica, but I want to say that I think that last show was indicative of how the rest of the world is feeling. We all feel very strongly about what's going on. Our own, everything affects you in a different way in accordance to how it's literally affecting you. So like if you are struggling for work because you got laid off from your restaurant job that you've had for 15 years, or you had to close your own private business, which has happened to a lot of people here in Florida, because you just can't function with all the rules that are involved and in a really bona fide effort to try to keep people safe. And of course, the people that don't want to stay safe or who don't believe what's going on, they're on a whole other agenda. And they actually are more of a mindset of how, how much they don't believe everything. I hear that on a daily basis. From young people and old people. It's not, I wouldn't say that it is keeping itself in one particular age arena at all. I think some of the young people think that they're being taken for fools. And I think some of the older people are more appreciative because perhaps they've seen more in their lives. But again, our reactions to any kind of drama or trauma all has to do with other things that we've already made it through. You know, it's what leads you. It's why you have a tendency to believe everything that's said to you, because maybe that's the kind of a life you've had, or why you have the feeling that you shouldn't trust anybody. And that usually has a lot to do with what kind of a life you've led. Shelley is on my board. I want to bring her in. But the first thing I want to do today is, during the time that we did the show for a long time prior to taking a bit of a sabbatical, we always recognized Martin Luther King Day. And the reason for that is because Shelley and I shared a real respect for Martin Luther King. And I think that I'm not going to try to read his I Have a Dream speech, because in previous years, whenever I did it, I ended up with a lump so big in my throat, I thought I was going to faint. So, and I'm in too much of a tender place right now to even attempt to read that. But I do want to say that Shelley and I had the opportunity. Let me bring her in. Shelley, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
How are you?
Hi.
I can.
You're breaking up a little bit, by the way. I'm hearing most of what you're saying, but you're a little garbly. So I don't know if it's just me. I took it off speakerphone on my side, and it didn't clear up. So.
Well, I'm on my headphones, and according to the testing I've been doing with my headphones, everybody hears me very well on my headphones. But I think it's when it's connecting to another cell phone. If they're just listening, then they hear me better. But if they're talking, there seems to be some interference. But it's been that way now here in this part of Florida for the last month. Telephone usage has been worse than it was just 15, 20 years ago. So, and AT&T keeps sending me notices, whereas, and I don't even have AT&T, so that gives you a little clue about how screwed up it is. So,
And I know that there's a little bit more. I mean, there's been like nationwide issues for the past 2 days. So there's something going on in electronic land right now. So I was trying to watch a live podcast last night for somebody I'm following. And, oh, my God, it was just so messed up. it wasn't broadcasting properly. It kept buffering. And
right. And I've been invited to several Zooms in the last 3 or 4 months with, you know, like birthday parties for important people. You know, they couldn't have gatherings, and they usually have these big soirees. So I got invited to Zooms. I don't think I had one that went without a hitch, not one. And these are people that have got setups much more effective and glamorous than you and I have. So, but I think one of the things that I want to mention is I started to say several years ago when we were at Hippocrates, the Coretta King, Yolanda King, Bernice King, and the sons who were very elusive. But we didn't ever get to spend much time with Martin's son. But his daughters and Coretta became friends of ours, and they were lovely people, and we heard many things about them through the years, because I think a lot of people think that they were very wealthy, and they did this, and they had a mansion. We learned other stories about them, stories of, you know, going without, still making it to a very formidable place. But there was a time in their lives, even after Martin was lecturing and talking all over the world and being listened to, I might add, when they didn't have a home to live in. And we met some other people that were involved with them. I'm not going to mention those names because a lot of people know some of these people. But some of these other people joined forces and helped the King family find a home and things like that. So their story is... it's kind of like common knowledge, but not, right, Shell? It's kind of like, you know, we saw things that probably, I mean, other people knew about their close friends and things, but the general public, I think, they thought that they were on the easy street, and that was never really true.
Right, and a lot of times when you have people that are children of people that have high notoriety, a lot of times their lives are not easy because the spotlight is on them. You know, everybody's looking at them to live up to the enormity of their parent or their sibling that for some reason is in the limelight. And a lot of times that makes their childhood somewhat stressful because they almost have to live in the shadow and live up to the accomplishments of a family member. And it sometimes it puts unreal expectations on them. So again, it's that easy being the child or the sibling of somebody that has achieved great things, because then everybody looks at you like, okay, so what are you doing?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because, and I think I've talked about this before on the air, past, Yolanda and I got very close. Yolanda and I both struggled with our weight, and the raw food lifestyle at Hippocrates was not easy for both of us. So we commiserated quite a bit together. And she wrote a book. And when she brought it in to me, signed, and it was such a nice moment for me because I really, really liked her and appreciated who she was. And she was very funny, very friendly, did everything for herself, never asked anybody to go above and beyond for her like other people that we have had at Hippocrates who were a little bit more demanding.
Right.
It's okay. You know, I mean, I'm not. But she was just so down to earth, you couldn't help but care about her. And she brought me this book. And I hold it in my hands and I said, you know, it's just thinking about you. When you hear, you know, hard act to follow, big shoes to fill, you're one of the first people I think about. And she plopped down in the chair across from my desk and she says, oh my God, read the back of my book, you know, on the back page. And that's what it talked about, you know. And I said, yeah, I'm
right.
Curious about that. I mean, because,
yep.
You know, of the siblings, she was one of the most personable, so I knew people probably talked to her because she needed to talk to, you know. And
right.
I thought about that many times, and very sadly, Coretta passed very shortly after staying with us at Hippocrates. She had had a stroke, and she was having a lot of problems. And we helped her a lot, I believe, in my heart. We brought in all kinds of specialists to help get her back on her feet. But shortly after Coretta passed, so did Yolanda. Yolanda had a heart attack. So I've always been very proud of
right.
the fact that we got to know them and learn a little bit more about them. So it was a tough act to follow, especially a tough act to follow when you think about some of the shoes people have to fill, especially if they follow in the footsteps of their, you know, pretty successful parents. So on that note, Michelle again. Are you back, honey? Michelle?
Hello?
Are you back?
Hello?
I lost you for a few minutes. I'm here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're still breaking up, but I can hear you.
Okay, I'm going to see if this helps. I don't know if it's going or not, but.
Is this better?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not breaking up
my
now.
Without my, okay.
I can hear you fine.
Okay, good. So now this brings me to something that I wanted to make tonight a little bit more positive than we are able to be all of the time. And by saying that, I wanted to talk about family, and that's why I brought up Yolanda and Coretta and Bernice. Bernice was a nice lady too, but she, different personality, different, you know, not so, not so shareable, you know. And I don't want to take away from her worth because every family needs different personalities that makes succeeding and surviving, you know, easier. I mean, somebody has to be strong. Somebody has to be kind. Somebody has to be, you know, a little on the mean side. Somebody, you know, it's the way it works, even in a business. So it made me think about the kids, though, because I have a lot of young people in my life. I have grandchildren, and now I have great-grandchildren, and I think a lot about what they must be thinking about when they see all these adults behaving like they're the children. And I find that to be, sad, I guess, more than anything else, because, you know, they follow in your footsteps. And I'll never forget, as a young woman hanging up clothes in my backyard, my youngest son, all my kids, 4 kids, 5 years apart, he's my baby, and he's playing with his trucks and his cars on the patio, and I'm hanging up clothes. And I hear him say, Jesus Christ. And I went, and I turned around and looked at him, and I said, what did you say? And he said, I said, Jesus Christ. And I said, oh, geez, I wonder where he gets that from. So it taught me a very valuable lesson about, you know, about being around little people, you know. And it's not just that they repeat your words. They repeat your sentiments. They repeat your actions. They repeat everything about you. And right now, the grown-ups, I mean, every night there's something on my local groups like Loxahatchee and the Acreage. You know, Facebook is all separated now. Lake Worth, all these different places have got their own Facebook stuff. And even in upstate New York, where we're from, and Newfield and Ithaca, all these sites from towns. And the grown-ups are, you know, they're all arguing about everything. I don't think anybody can decide if the sun's in the sky or under the earth anymore. I don't know if they can decipher those things anymore. So I got thinking about the kids today, and I, as luck would have it, I came across this little thing. It's very short, but it's words to instill in our kids. And I would like to say that I'd like to instill this in my friends as well, and my adult kids, and my brother's brother, and my sister, and the people that I'm really close to. Number one, if you're thankful, show it. Number two, if you love somebody, tell them. Number three, if you're confused, ask questions. Number four, if you learn something, teach it to others. Number five, if you made a mistake, apologize. Number six, if you're stuck, ask for help. Number seven, if you trip, get back up. Number eight, if someone needs help, help them. And if you see something wrong, take a stance. Simple, 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 right, Shel? As simple as you can get.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
As simple as you can get.
And those are really principles that when we were simpler and younger is how people lived for the most part. We were a more innocent country when you look back like around the 60s and the 70s, or maybe going back as far as the 50s, we were simpler, you know. There wasn't a lot of the media influence, which has really kind of demoralized kids to some level when you look at the types of commercials, music videos, and things like that. So there's so much influence to take you away just from the simpleness of life. And I think when people just follow simple principles, when they follow just kind of like common sense decency, common sense kindness, I think it just makes your life simpler also. It makes your life less complicated because you're not creating drama. And then if you can surround yourself or in some way inspire people around you to take on those qualities, then everybody starts benefiting from it. But one of the things I've noticed over the decades, because when I was in my 20s, most of the people that I knew that were my age were tougher. It almost seems like as the generations went forward, people became more fragile emotionally. Their feelings get hurt more easily. You know, they get angry more easily. And it's like, what happened to just pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and getting on with things and not getting hurt over really minor issues? So all the principles you just said are very, very simple. But they can have really profound impacts on strengthening your character and strengthening your core if you just live by those simple practices. Just the act of being grateful. How many people do you know really have nice things, nice people in their lives, nice things happen to them, and yet they're miserable? They never seem to be grateful that any. It's almost like they're expecting it, and what happened wasn't enough. When you live in a state of gratitude, everything is wonderful.
Well, one of the things that's wrong right now with the energy in the air, probably the strongest emotion that's in the air is fear. But a lot of people mistake it for anger or become angry from it. I'm not sure which one takes over in what way. But because we're fearful, because we're getting all these mixed answers and these mixed rules and regulations, and one day this man that everybody says knows everything about everything says something, and the next day everybody says he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about, and then the next day somebody else comes in who's been, you know, revered for their whole life, and somebody says, you know, well, they did this and they did that, and you have to deal with that. So you get distrustful. I mean, how can you not? And if you're young and are thinking that the grown-ups, the people that are sitting in seats of real importance, not just mommy and daddy or grandma and grandpa or your boss or your immediate supervisor, but really high up the ladder also, they're on the same side or supposed to be, and you watch TV and they both say something different. So the confusion is like overwhelming. How could it not be? I mean, you know, it'd be impossible to not be overwhelming. So if we can remember that opinions and somebody's input, I mean, I say this to my kids now all the time, and I don't know that I said it a lot before, because I just figured if I told them something, they knew that it came from a good place. I might not always be right, but I said it because I thought they needed it. I thought it was important for them to know. And in my heart, I felt like I was doing the right thing. Now, at 72, I know there were times that I did that and I could have done something better. But, you know, what they say about hindsight, you know. So, and as you grow, you learn more and more and more and more, you know. There are some gifts I got in early years. Managing people, and one of them is to shut up and listen every now and then, and because sometimes you feel like you have to make your point before they can tell you a whole bunch of stuff, and you might already have the answer. You've had that feeling before, I know. You know, you feel like, you know, don't waste all of our time on telling me something I already know. If we both understand that we both believe the same thing, then it seems to be a plateau that you can discuss evenly, squarely. In working with guests in hotels and at Hippocrates and places like that where I've spent most of my career, people have come to me, will you do this for me? Can I do, you know, and I'd say, you know what? I have to research this and find out what's going on because I want to do the best thing for you. Plus, if I start doing that for everybody, I set precedent. So if I know that I can do it for everybody, if it's a really great idea, then we'll do it. But if I can't do it for everybody, I can't do it just for you. That saved my butt a lot of times, Shel. A lot of times. Once I realized that I could say that to people, and most people understood it.
Right, but it really was a great policy because it was fair and it didn't set you up to help one person and then hurt another one. So not only was it beneficial for you, but it really was the best policy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it helped other people at the same time.
So that's one of the things that's been disconcerting. Now, you listen all morning on the news and then they break in during my soap opera to have everybody talk as usual, just during my soap opera, which has been a real bee in my bonnet for the last 6 months. And I watch one soap opera since I'm 15 years old, and that's when everybody wants to talk to us on TV. The kids all get a big kick out of it. They think it's very funny. But they'll come on and this man that's been telling us all to wear masks, please wear a mask. It's the only thing that's going to help you. He's revered. Everybody believes in him. And there he is with no mask on. So now, like, maybe some people are so caught up in what they're thinking about, they don't even notice that, right? I'm sure that's true. But not somebody like me. Not somebody like me who really, when you tell me to do something, I take it seriously. And if I think you know your stuff, then I listen. You know, I mean, that's what you do, right, when you're a grown-up. This ride has been just unbelievable. So that's what set up a lot of the fear along with the anger and with the inability to really know whether you're doing the right thing. So I would like to say, and then I'm going to let Shelley kind of comment on this, if you are in that place where you really, really, really are confused. I understand. I think we all understand. But please don't let it, you know, like take away your love, your caring, your common sense for the people that are around you all the time. We will never get through this until we all decide to care enough about each other to be kind to each other, no matter what's going on. If we don't do that, then, you know, we're headed to hell in a handbasket, and that's not going to work. So we have to be courteous. You can have your opinion. Shelley and I have disagreed more times than I could even count. Have we not, Shel? There have been many times when she sees something this way and I see something that way, and we are still friends for a very, very, very long time. Not just, you know, hi, how are you, friends? Friends. If somebody took me to the gallows, Shelley would be the first one in line to come get me, and I know that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if we can remember that when we're dealing with everybody, even the people in the stores that get angry, Walmart, it happens all the time. You know, people are short-tempered, they're worried. In the beginning, it wasn't too bad. Spike and I were in BJ's right after the toilet paper shortage and all that stuff. And we were all watching each other's baskets so we could run and get things, because we had to be in this one line that went through the whole store, all of BJ's. And we were at the end of it. So each one of us customers, will you watch my basket? Well, I go, yeah. And we'd watch each other's baskets. But that was like in March. By June, it wasn't like that anymore. By June, it was like, you know, wear your bumper guards when you're walking into Walmart, because you're liable to get slammed into the wall. So, but now it's calming again a little bit. But somebody said to me today from Ithaca, and I text her back, and I said, please call in and listen to the show. And she said, can people just write stuff about, you know, happy and, you know, being kind to each other and something nice that happened to you? And that's what we should be doing as often as we can, mm-hmm. as often as right. we can. So what do you think about having, plus that I'm getting a lot of health questions again. So I think we'll do a show Wednesday night, and we'll keep it about health and keeping people's immune system in a better place. And between
right.
you and Monica and myself, we could answer some questions like that, I think.
Definitely. Definitely. Yep. I think that's a good idea.
Because I'm getting a lot of calls from people who are struggling. One of, my grandsons, Sammy are having a baby. Austin and Sammy are having a baby. And started throwing up this morning. Yeah. She started throwing up this morning. And she went to one of those med places, or I don't know what they're called anymore. They're all different names. But, you know, the one-stop thing where you just go in and get checked out. And if you're really in trouble, they send you to a hospital. But nobody wants to go to the hospital. And she didn't want to go to her baby doctor because it's too far away, and she wanted to go to work. So she went over there, and Austin called me and told me what was going on, and I said it wouldn't have anything to do with the baby. She thought she was throwing up blood. And she just ate spicy food, you know. She just ate spicy food, and it upset her stomach. And I said, but she said to Austin, I know the baby's okay because he's kicking and he's moving around and my belly doesn't hurt. I just think I threw up blood. And of course, that's really not what it was. It was tomatoes or something. But we get scared, you know. And now you can't. My brother Danny was in the hospital all last week. He had to have his esophagus, an inch of his esophagus removed. They had to make incision under his belly button, take the esophagus outside of his stomach, cut an inch where the really bad abscess was from diverticulitis, stitch it back together. Oof. He was in the hospital for 5 days. And of course, he's still not working or anything, but he, you know, he said, oh my God, Reen. And I can't go see him. His wife can't go see him. His daughter can't go see him. It's a rough time for so many different reasons. But you all need to know
right.
that it's not just being thrown at you. It's everywhere. Sometimes that makes it a little bit easier to understand because we have a tendency to do the why me thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
why is this happening
right.
to me?
Right.
Everybody else seems to be fine. And this is happening to me. And I don't, you know. That's not true, people. It's not true. It's everybody
right.
is in a very, very strange place, and it is what it is. But now let's talk about real quick what do you think? And we'll probably talk about this Wednesday too. But what are you guys doing to keep, now you said the other day that you don't even have to wear masks up there. Tell everybody where you live, Shell, first of
right.
all.
I live up in Claremont, Florida. So we are, let me see, we are southwest of Orlando. So we're a little south, but then we're more inland. So basically Claremont is almost the exact center of Florida, you know,
mm-hmm.
longitudinally and the other way. and we're also the highest point in Florida. Very, very hilly here. So people don't think of hills in Florida, but we actually have, like, very hilly ground here, which surprised me when we first got up
mm-hmm.
here. But now
yeah.
when you go into Orlando, there's a lot of mask mandates there. But where I'm at, there really aren't any. So like if I go into Walmart, there's a big sign out front that says we require masks. But if you walk in without a mask, they don't say anything. And I would say maybe 10% of the people that go in don't wear masks. So usually I'm not the only person. I would have to say that the vast majority of people still wear masks because there is a lot of confusion and a lot of people are wearing masks because they do believe it protects them. Other people don't believe that masks protect them, but they don't want to not follow recommendations. So they're doing it more
right.
for social acceptance than because they think it's actually helping them. And in my particular case, I have a hard time with masks. I had injured my lungs years ago. This is like 25 years ago. I can't wear a mask. If I wear a mask, literally within a few minutes, I'm not breathing properly. I get very lightheaded, so I really can't wear masks, even if I thought it was a good idea. So, you know, so for and my sister had emphysema. She's got scars on her lungs, so she doesn't have emphysema anymore. But she had similar lung damage from an incident, like I said, many, 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 many years ago. And so we're fine. I mean, I get the flu, I get this, I get that, I get over it quickly, but I just have a real difficulty with wearing masks. I can't breathe my own breath back in like that. It starts, I feel like I'm getting suffocated. So we're luckier here. Now, if I lived someplace else where there was a mask mandate, I don't know what I would do, to be honest with you. I'm glad that I don't live somewhere else. I feel very fortunate, you know, that didn't clamp down me because I think in the entire time that we've been here, I think I've worn a mask maybe six times. And I had to
yeah.
do it once when I was getting my hair cut, you know, because, you know, but I'm also respectful whether I believe in wearing them or not. When I was getting my hair cut, if I didn't wear a mask in there, the salon would have lost their license. So at that point, I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to put this little, you know, mom and pop shop type of deal out of business, you know, to take a stand that I don't think we should be forced to wear masks. You know, walking around Walmart, I don't care. Walmart's a big enough store where if I felt I needed to make a stand, I would feel more comfortable doing it there. But I didn't feel comfortable doing it with a little, you know, privately owned salon. I wasn't going to put their license in jeopardy, regardless of how I felt.
Well, see, that's what's happening here with restaurants and bars. More than anything else, they're struggling with keeping places open. They say if you sit down in a restaurant, I mean, they space you as far apart as you can. Of course, not restaurants are not busy either, so it's not so difficult
to, you know, to keep people separated a little bit. And there for a while, it was insane with the walk this way and don't walk that way and up this aisle and down the other aisle. And when I'm shopping, I'm sorry, I'm not looking at the floor. And I know right where I'm going. So, and why would I walk all the way around the next aisle to get over where I know the pasta is? I'm just not going to do it. I mean, it's a tedious trip as it is, you know.
Yeah,
and,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
But I tried to be respectful about it because, like what you just said, they're doing what they're being told to do. And I thought to myself, even if there was an altercation, it wouldn't be with anybody that had any power to tell me that I didn't have to, because they're not out there on the floor. Now, small bars, you know, where the owner is usually behind the bar, and if he or she isn't, they're sitting at the bar, it's a little bit different. Then you can speak to the, you know, the powers that be and say, you know, is this really necessary? Do I have to do that? So most of those mom and pop places, they would open, and you couldn't sit next to each other. Some places you couldn't sit at the bar at all. You could sit outside and drink. You could, been a long time since I went out drinking anywhere, but all the kids tell me, you know, what you can do. And I've got two or three young girls in the family that are barmaids. And
wow.
Some of them got outrageous fines, Shelley, big fines. The owners of these bars, the cops would come in, say you're not doing this, they'd write them up, and if it wasn't rectified the next day, they got a fine. And when you're only you know, when your guest count has gone from 60 at night after work to 15, you can't pay a fine.
Right. Well, see, that's one of the things that I hope, like the one site that I sent you to, healthyamerican.org, she's got a lot of really great information on there, because a lot of what's happening really isn't constitutionally allowed. So we are adults in this country. We can make decisions for ourselves, but to have individual governors and mayors mandating what we can do really is not something that they're permitted to do in the Constitution. So it's almost like they're trying to push us to, like, let's see how far we can get them to comply type of thing. Now, when you get a lot of people in the country, that's uncomfortable. People don't like to go against authority. Most people want to be good citizens. 90% of the population are good people. They just, you know, they want to live and let live. They want to, you know, like you said the other day, they want to get up. They want to go to work. They want to, you know, earn a decent living, pay their bills, see their family, visit with their family. You know, most people are pretty simple. You know, they don't need extreme things to make them happy. And that's all being suppressed a little bit right now, or oppressed. So what are my advice to people? Because a lot now I'm different, okay? So I'm not talking from what I would do. My recommendation to people that are not confrontational, because I think most people are not, is that you have a couple different ways of handling it. First of all, even if you recognized and believed that what was being done wasn't fair and that the state didn't have the ability to mandate certain things, like I said, a lot of people aren't going to go there. They're not going to argue against it. They're going to say, well, you know what, I just want to get on with my day, and I don't want any hassle. They don't want to get a fine. I don't want somebody to yell at me or whatever. So if that's the situation, then understand that you have to do what works for you. If wearing a mask is comfortable for you, wear a mask. But what I would ask people to do is don't become enforcers for other people. If it makes sense to you and you're comfortable with it and you feel like it's protecting you, then do it. But don't feel like you are being harmed by other people, because you're not. It's just not the truth. And don't feel that you have to be the watchdogs. I think some of the stress of people, some of the stress and the fear and the anger is people feeling like the state expects them to be watchdogs of their neighbors and perfect strangers. And I think that's causing a lot of problems on both sides of the fence. People that feel they should act particular ways and other people that feel that it's going against their constitutional rights and they're refusing to comply. So that in itself is causing a lot of stress. And it's also, like you said, affecting the young people, you know, because they're seeing these interactions of adults literally going at it, you know. So I just think that we need to get back to being calmer. This is, you know, we've had pandemics before. This is not the first pandemic. People are acting like this is the first pandemic that's ever hit the United States or even the world. You know, there was the swine flu, there was the Spanish flu, you know. We've had these things that went around the world, and we've gotten through them before, you know. We have better science now. We have better hygiene habits. So when you understand our history, look at the bubonic plague. Look how many people died, but we didn't die as a people. We eventually herd immunity, with or without vaccinations, will take place. So I think one of the things is people have got to take a breath, calm down a little bit, thinking about how you used to think about the flu. Just do the normal things that you used to do. Comply to your own comfort level, but don't feel like you have to be the watchdog of every stranger or neighbor around you. If somebody in the store is not wearing a mask and that bothers you, then walk someplace else, because in most cases, it's only one or two people anyway. So go down the other aisle, right. But don't feel like you have to confront them, because that's not good for you. You know, it raises the blood pressure, it gets you all excited, it lowers your immune system when you get angry. And then obviously it's not good for the person you're attacking. It creates very negative energy. And I think if people could start just calming down a little bit and just really trying to live and let live, let's get back to that. We used to respect each other before. Let's get back to that a little bit.
So let's do a scenario. You're in a store and your nose, you're doing the best you can with the damn mask, but you've been around Walmart, which is like a mile and a half, and you can barely breathe, and you're sweating, and you wear glasses. They're all steamed up. Does it sound like this sounds like a personal story? That's because it is. It happens to me every damn time I go. And I keep taking my glasses off and see how far I can walk before I can't see something, you know. Then I put the glasses back on and I readjust the mask. And I don't fog up my glasses so much if my nose is out of the mask a little bit. And I've tried every mask except these new plastic ones that they have. I haven't done one of those yet. But I've had every mask on my face that I've been able to purchase. So anyway, I look over. Nothing is said to me, but there's a young girl working at Walmart. She's got on a Walmart jacket there and everything, and she's stocking shelves. And an elderly woman walks up to her and she said, you know, you're supposed to have that over your nose. It doesn't do any good unless you have it over your nose. So the young woman just gave her a dirty look, pulled it up over her nose, and went about her business. And I thought to myself, see, that's what's wrong. That's what's wrong. So maybe one of the things we should say to everybody is, if that really bothers you, and it really isn't any of your business, by the way, you can think it, you know, don't say something. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, kind of thing holds true. And if you think you're in jeopardy, get the hell out of the store. Like Shelley said, I mean, just right. Get out of the store. And right. I do think positivity in the way we're behaving right now could also change the whole game. Change the whole game, I believe. If I swear, Shelley, there's been times in my life things are going on and I think to myself, well, I've talked about it on the show when Mikey got hit by the car. I wheeled and dealt with God like he was across the poker table from me. And that's the truth. I promised I would never do anything bad again. I would never,
I mean, not that I ever did anything bad either. That's the funniest part. But I mean, you know, that's what I was doing. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, but somehow we always make it through it if we stay focused, stay positive, and try to be kind. And just try to be kind,
right?
Because what the ball you throw out gets thrown back most of the time. Otherwise,
right,
you know, there's no game anyway. So if
and the other thing
I'm reading
is that, the other thing too is that when you're talking about this, you made a very good point last show and this one, is that a lot of the bad behavior is strictly from fear. And I think it would help people to look at other sources of information. So if you want to know who's telling the truth, because like you were talking before, we've had experts that said one thing in March, changed it in April, changed it again in June, changed it again in September, you know, and literally have flip-flopped 5 or 6 times. You know, like one particular expert, actually there's 3 or 4 of them that have done that, but it's like depending on what's going on, they would move the goalposts, they would change the recommendations. There's actually official sources like CDC and the WHO, who, if you look at their information prior to March of 2020, their recommendations for masks and how to take care of viruses was very different. Their protocols were different than after March of 22. But we've had pandemics.
Yeah.
SARS, coronavirus is something that we've had before. The SARS outbreak we had is a coronavirus. So it's not like this is unprecedented. So why are they handling it so differently? And, you know, so what I would recommend to people is if you can, because I've done this myself, like, you know, so you go into the CDC site. Now, they've taken down some of their documents, which I find interesting also. But anyway, some of it's still available. You can get some of these older documents because they've been stored over into other sites. But, you know, that's what I like so much about that healthyamerican.org, because she's gone in and gotten some of the old documents, put it up on her site. The frontline American doctors have gotten some of the older documents. Of course, the fact those doctors have been in practice for over 30 years. So I think knowledge, having more knowledge, can sometimes comfort people. If you really understand that this is very survivable, even if you were to get it, you're not going to die, you're not going to kill your grandmother, you're not going to get your kids all sick. You know, like I said, I've had it, my sister had it, and we were miserable, but we're in our 60s, and we both got over it. We didn't realize we had it because this was before it was actually announced that it was a thing. This was the early part of January. But it was different than any other flu I ever had, but I still recovered from it using the same protocols I did for every other flu I had. And I still used my colloidal silver and my golden seal. And this is what we can talk about on Wednesday. Those things still worked. But it's because it is a virus. I mean, think about when you used to go to the doctor before. Well, you have a virus. What does the doctor say? Well, there's nothing you can do for a virus. You just got to boost your immune system and go home, you know? And it's like, so what changed? Where if you read the box that the mask comes in, it even says that masks don't prevent transmission, either breathing out or breathing in, viruses because they're too small. Remember I told you the one doctor that I'm following, Dr. Simone Gold, she said that wearing masks for a virus is like putting a chain link fence up around your property to keep mosquitoes out. She was trying to give a visual.
Yeah.
So it's more of a psychological thing, and that's why I tell people, if you believe the mask is helping you, I'm not going to try to talk you out of wearing it. That has to be your comfort level. But don't try to make me feel bad because I don't want to wear one, because I believe that it's not going to protect me. It's going to possibly injure my lungs because I'm breathing in moist air. There are more cases of lung issues now, like pneumonias and things like that are being caused by people constantly breathing in their moist breath. So if you look at a surgeon, they don't wear their masks
the entire 12 hours a day they're in the hospital. They wear it as soon as they're done with the surgery. They take that mask off. In fact, the one surgeon is even talking. He says the minute he's done with the surgery, he has to rip that mask off, wash his face. He said his nose is all runny, you know. He can't wait to get the mask off, you know. And then, you know, and he doesn't just go right into the next surgery. You know, he has to catch his breath again. But he's not wearing the mask to protect himself from the patient. He's wearing the mask to protect the patient from him so he doesn't sneeze or drool or cough into the person. It's, you know, it's not to prevent viral. It's to prevent spit. He doesn't want to spit into his patient, you know. But,
right.
You know, you have to understand what a surgical mask, the blue one that everyone's wearing, or a cloth mask, they're not made to protect you from viruses anyway. So I don't understand where this mandate is coming from. It's not based on science. Everybody says follow the science. It's not based on science. If you have a lung issue, then you should be wearing the N95, absolutely. But the regular cloth masks or the surgical masks, if you have any kind of comorbidity or you have any lung condition, they're not helping you anyway, but you should definitely wear it. The N95 is the only one that can actually stop the transmission of the of a virus. So I think just understanding what the reality is, I think, can sometimes give people a little bit more comfort zone. You still want to wear the mask after you know all that, then fine. If that's what makes you comfortable, then I think you should do it. But for me, it doesn't make me comfortable, and I don't want people trying. I'm an adult. I can make up my own mind whether or not I want to wear a mask or not, and I think I think we have to get back to respecting each other again. I respect you to make a different decision than me because that's you, you know, and then please respect my decision for me because we're both adults.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I don't disagree with that. But one of the things that I think is harmful is when explanations are given haphazardly or quickly or inefficiently, and then you've left it up to somebody who perhaps doesn't think real clearly, doesn't decipher very well, and you give them, you know, way too much information, and then they're just as lost as they were before. They can't have three different people telling them how to do something because they're just purely and simply, I don't want to say not smart enough. I don't think it's got anything to do with intelligence. I think it comes back to the fear. Well, you know, Shelley,
right,
what you just said to me sounds great, but I'm scared that it won't work. And I don't know that you would be the person to tell me that that's okay. I'm like that with the damn doctor. So for me, I have to think about how Rini feels about everything. And
exactly.
When this whole thing started, and the kids came to me, and what are we supposed to do, and all this kind of stuff. And I said, well, you're going to have to do what the head honchos tell you to do. If your boss tells you you got to wear a mask, you better wear a mask, or you're going to be without a job. That's pretty simple.
Right.
Is he right? I don't know. But he's the boss. You know, as far as listening to everybody that we watched on TV, their opinions. And some of them are educated opinions, and some of them are just opinions, just that. For me, a virus, anything like this, and I've said this a million times, and I'll probably say it a million times more, personal hygiene is something that everybody forgot about. If you travel and go into a gas station or McDonald's or a Burger King bathroom, it's disgusting. Disgusting. And even right now, I walked in a place the other day because I go to Sebastian to pick up AJ, and I can make it there without peeing, but I can't when I'm there. I got to pee before I won't make it back, you know. So
right.
I've found clean bathrooms, and I always commend them. There's a Dollar General that has a clean bathroom, always smells good. There's always tissue. There's always soap. There's always everything. There's no overflow in the potty. I mean, and I went into a McDonald's that had feces all over the toilet seat, and it wasn't the only one. So washing your hands and taking care of your own personal hygiene. If you are someplace that you felt uncomfortable because you saw
You know, you saw all the kids that live under the bridge up here by Mr. Donut. They were all in Winn-Dixie when you went in. When you go home, you should be taking off your clothes, take a shower, and put your clothes in the washer. You should just be doing that. And those are simple things, you know, simple things. So instead of having a fight about something, the mask is, I think, very difficult. I'm respectful of it because that's just who I am. It isn't easy for me to breathe in it. I don't like it. But also, I got to tell you that if one of my kids here, one of my young kids or my big kids or one of the babies or somebody got sick because they weren't wearing a mask when somebody sneezed right in their face, I'd never forgive myself, too. I mean, you know, I'm being honest. You know, when things get to this point, even for somebody, I'm not real fearful, Shell. I think you know that about me. But I am wary, and I do know stuff can happen. And it does worry me that other people don't practice good hygiene. I mean, we had our regular Christmas. There were 60 people here. We had our regular Thanksgiving. But they're all related, and we're all together all the time. So, knock on wood, in my family, there has been nothing, no cases of anything.
Right. Well,
and
keep one thing in mind, because it's I mean, you just said something, and I think it's very, very important to elaborate on that. And I know we've only got a couple of minutes left, so I'll do this quick.
Yeah.
But you said that, you know, like if one of the young people got sick because somebody wasn't wearing a mask and walked in front of them, or they weren't wearing a mask, understand the science from many sources, and I have probably over 24 reports that show that wearing masks do not protect the wearer or the person across from the wearer. So, like, if you're the one wearing it and you sneeze or cough, you're not protecting the person across from you either, because the spores make it through the mask. They actually show, there's one video that actually shows they had like infrared light on. The sneeze came right through the mask. It does not prevent it. The only mask that would be an N95. What they should be recommending people is to keep handkerchiefs with them, you know, or tissues that you can throw out. And if you have to sneeze or cough, sneeze into the tissue and then discard it. But if you sneeze into, and I saw a man do this the other day, and I was so freaked out, and I couldn't say anything. It's, again, because it's the whole fear thing. He sneezed into his mask and then just kept walking around, and he sneezed into his mask, which means some of it came through the mask, touched his mask, fixed it, and went to the shelf and started looking at things to buy. And this was the point that the doctor was trying to make. People fiddle with their masks. They're constantly touching them. The minute you touch your mask, you're breathing through it. If you touch your mask, any germ that came through the fibers is now on your hands, and then you're touching products in the store anyway. So the whole concept behind the mask is not based in science. I can't wait for them to finally just get rid of it and go back to the science and you know, just kind of let's get back to some reasonable approaches. But that would make a lot more sense. Tell people to keep tissues with them, and if you have to sneeze or cough, sneeze into that. But if you're just breathing normally, you're not dispersing germs anyway. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work by you just breathing. You have to expel what you're breathing. It's not coming from your normal breath. It would only come from a sneeze or a cough. So, you know, so we just have to kind of interject a little bit of common sense. Go back to how, for the older people, I'm not talking about the young people because they don't have the life experience, but just go back to how we used to do things 10, 20 years ago. We always got through it then.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. Well, we are out of time, though, honey. So we're going to be back on Wednesday, 7 o'clock. I hope that's good for you girls. I got some complaints. No early morning. I don't get up early enough, everybody was telling me. So...
okay.
On my retired friend. So I said, okay, but we will be back on Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock, and I'll try to contact Monica, and maybe we can have some talk about, you know, some of the things that the three of us know about that other people do not.
be aware of that
okay.
can help keep them on the healthier side. All right. So thanks
okay,
a lot,
yeah,
honey.
Yeah, I can talk about the Zelenko protocol. That's something people can get online, and it can actually it's stuff you can just buy over the counter to get through all this.
Okay. Good. Perfect. Thanks a lot, honey. Love you. Talk to you Wednesday night. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Love you.
I hope you got something out of tonight. Take care. God bless.